Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Hey, my brother Bud doesn't need any introduction. He's my little brother. He's not as good looking as I am, not as smart as I am, but it's amazing how God calls people to the ministry. And okay, Bud, come give us the word of God.
Thanks. Okay, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're just going to be there briefly. And I'm going to make a few comments before we actually get into the word. I understand Pastor's been talking bad about me again, in my absence, of course. And envy and jealousy often reveal themselves in that way. And everybody knows that, right? And I want to say something. It is good to try to be honest every now and then, Chip. Pastor. I'll try to call him Pastor. We fought like cats and dogs all the time growing up. All the time. And so he said God put us in different hemispheres. I guess that's some purpose to that. And it seems reasonable enough. But anyway, missions conference. Wow, this is a great opportunity. I don't know about you. I look forward to missions conferences. I was South America. We could go right now. In fact, I was preaching the final service of a missions conference and had the opportunity to, in the afternoon, be involved in the ordination service and preach the challenge at ordination service of a young man who's a third-generation pastor in Bolivia. I don't know if that's ever happened before in Bolivia. The gospel's not that old there. And just a real privilege. His dad was in our Bible Institute, graduated in 2002 from the Bible Institute. And he's a pastor today. And his grandpa, who's now with the Lord, we knew him and ministered with him for several years before the Lord took him home. So it's just, but missions conferences, it's great stuff. And God challenges our hearts. I hope your heart's tender to what God might have for you today. And in doing this conference, and that God will be honored in all that is accomplished here. I pray every day for revival. It's one of the things I pray for, and I'm sure some of you do as well. And it could be that revival, God, it would please God to bring a revival about during a missions conference. I think that'd be very appropriate. It could happen here in this church in these few days that we're together. It may happen somewhere else. We're not really sure how that's going to work, how God's going to maneuver things. But we do pray and trust and cry out to God every day for that. And I would invite you to join me in doing that. The person who challenged me about praying for revival every day was Rick Flanders. You know, and that was many years ago, too. But so pray with us concerning that, and that God would be honored. Luke chapter 17, just going to read one verse. And I don't usually preach the way I'm going to preach this morning. We're going to come back, Lord willing, to Luke 17 at some point in the message. But this is just to introduce the message more than anything. Jesus Christ is speaking, and upon his servants returning from a mission. And this is what he says in verse 18, one verse. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. Fall. That's the word. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your goodness is overwhelming to us, unimaginable. You have chosen, and it pleases you, to redeem fallen man. And many of us here have received that redemption, and we're so grateful. Lord, help us to realize what we can do and make an effort to do what you show us so that other people too can learn to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as the Lord and Savior, Lord, we ask and plead that that individual or these people will come to accept Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What would, if you could go back in history, if you could go back in time, what is the event that you would like to visit? And here, don't answer, just think about it. And what's the event that you would like to visit in history? If you could step back. Some people say, being Americans, April 18th, 1775, right? The shot that was heard around the world. A poem that always impressed me was written by Tennyson, and it was it's called, you've heard of this, The Charge of the Light Brigade. I thought that'd be kind of cool, especially as a kid, to see that, to witness that. Some people say they would like to go back to the last time Detroit Lions had a winning season. And if you want to go way back, the last time University of Michigan beat Ohio State. Yeah, no. I'm all for University of Michigan beating Ohio State. I'd like to see it again, maybe this year, you know. But really, what would be the event in history that would be satisfying? Creation. No humans were present on the first day of creation when God said, "Let there be light." That'd be something. The birth of Christ. That'd be something to behold. Shortly after the birth, of course, the shepherds were there and some others. But I think the single event that I would like to witness, and maybe you think the same way, I would like to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yep. I think Brother Jim referred to it this morning in Acts chapter 17. That event, that single event that just shakes humanity and the powers of darkness to its core. It was that event when Paul was testifying before Agrippa that it's right after that, that is when Felix says, "Paul, much learning hath made thee mad." We start talking about the resurrection of Christ. But Agrippa's response was different. Agrippa said, "Almost, thou persuadest me to become a Christian." The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that moment that changed everything, that moment that actually sealed, I won't use the word death, I'll use the word doom, sealed the doom certificate of Lucifer, Satan. That single event that completed the gospel. Without that, there is no gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. How glorious would it have been to be present at that moment. We know in John chapter 18, the followers of Christ they ceased to follow Jesus. If you were to read in John chapter 18, it's when he was taken prisoner. Peter offered a pathetic defense of Christ there, and then he fled. The other apostles fled as well. The fear of the Jews and of Rome, but primarily of Jews, the religious world, infested the population in Jerusalem and in Judea at that time. But then we turn over, we finish the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we go into the book of Acts, chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Thousands saved. Chapter 4, Peter and John's fearless, or maybe it wasn't fearless, but it was a bold, valiant, courageous effort to serve the Lord. And they did that, Acts chapter 4, and elsewhere as well. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, the first known martyr for Jesus Christ, boldly preaching the gospel and giving his life for Christ. What made the difference between the last part of the book? You know, that's the order of the New Testament, right? John, Acts. Acts follows after John. What happened between John and the book of Acts? John 18 and 19 in the first and second chapter of Acts. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what happened. That's what took place. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, we just read it, "I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven." The resurrection of Jesus Christ made all the difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, take a look at it real quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, famous resurrection chapter in the Bible. There's so much to be said out of 1 Corinthians 15. But I just like to make one point. Verses 16 through 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 19. "For if the dead rise not," Paul is presenting a discourse actually, it was a written discourse, but he's presenting it concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul says it there. If Christ did not rise from the dead, if the resurrection never happened, then the gospel is not good news, in other words. It's not the gospel without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are the most miserable, miserable of all men. If Christ has not risen from the dead. In Acts chapter 19, famous story of the sons of Sceva. Acts 19, verses 13 through 20. Are some of you familiar with this, I'm sure? I'm going to read through it and to kind of preach through it and make an application or two, and we're going to be done. And the Lord willing, we'll be done on time. But what's taking place here? Look at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. What's happening here? God's using Paul and his team. I'm not going to go into all of this. He's using them. Some fantastic things are happening. Incredible things. The gospel is moving forward. They're in a Gentile city. There are Jews present. There's a synagogue there, as we see. And a chief priest in the synagogue named Sceva, he was probably a true worshiper of Jehovah God, in all likelihood. A true worshiper of Jehovah God. And he had seven sons. I don't know how religious his sons were. I don't think they were true followers of Jehovah. Paul and his team are presenting who Jehovah is now to them. And many of the believers, many of the Jews do get saved. And other people as well, Gentiles, when they recognize Jesus Christ as being Jehovah. But these men, they saw something different. They saw something, a situation that they could take advantage of. They were vagabond Jews, the Bible says. They knew all about religion, right? Their dad was the chief priest in that city, in the synagogue. So they were religious to a point. They understood what was expected of them in Judaism. But they chose to go a different direction. And they took the name of Jesus Christ and chose to use it, to misuse the name of Christ. Use it for their own profit, for their own benefit. Vagabond Jews, exorcists, it says in verse 14 or 15. And verse 13. And then verse 14, it says, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief priest, chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Amen. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. These men chose to use the name of Jesus Christ, misuse the name of Jesus Christ. That happens a lot nowadays, doesn't it? And man, with YouTube and live streaming and all the things you can watch on TV, different churches and different preachers and things like that, and different strange groups that are out there, you see a lot of this very thing going on. In the name of Christ, in the name of the church, the misuse of his name for whatever, for prestige, for profit, maybe some kind of influence, but it's being misused. We got to be careful not to do that. The cause of Christ is not necessarily a political cause. It's not me getting after a certain issue and using the name of Christ to promote this issue that I'm in favor of as a conservative. That's not what it is. It's something different than that. It's far more powerful than that. Yeah. The resurrected Amen. Jesus Christ. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And the gospel is the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so here are these men, they're misusing the name of Jesus Christ. And they said in verse 13, if I'm not mistaken, we adjure you, talking to the demon-possessed man, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power is the word authority. All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and baptize, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus Christ in those three verses is energizing us. He is authorizing us. He is deputizing us to establish churches. Amen. That's what verse 20 is. Teach them to observe all things. How long have you been pastoring here? 41 years, man. Imagine that. You guys are really something. Some of you have been here since the beginning, you know. But 41 years. Have you taught everything, all things? No. When will that ever happen? Pastor Rader, teaching three times a week, preaching three times a week, is never going to teach you all things or teach us all things. I'm not going to get that done either. But the ministry of a local church, that can happen. Yep. He's going to, you know, one of these, any day now, he's going to kick the bucket. I mean, just look at him, you know. Kind of broken down and everything. But, you know, it's going to happen. One of these days, he's going to be gone. I mean, his mind's already, you know that. Yeah, okay. But he's not going to be here. He's not going to be here. But the local church continues, right? The local church continues on, preaching the resurrected Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Well, first off, you know, the Holy Spirit will come, empower us, and ye shall be witnesses unto me all over the world. God sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for a lot of reasons. In John 14 and 16, it talks about some of the reasons why God sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to us. But in Acts chapter 1, it tells us that the Holy Spirit will be sent upon us and has already, this has happened already now. It's history now. It was future at that time. He come to empower us with witnessing power, the ability to take his word throughout the whole world, beginning here, of course, but throughout the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the last places, the uttermost part of the earth. What's happening here? These men, they take and misuse the name of Jesus Christ. We know what happens. The evil spirit leaps upon them. He says, I know Jesus and I know who Paul is, but who on earth do you think you are? That's basically what he's saying. Yeah? Who do you think you are? To tell me what to do. And they fled from there, wounded, naked, the scriptures tell us. In that moment of challenge, they had no authority. They had no authority. Amen. But you, my friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this church, as a group, as a family, as a body, we have been authorized by Jesus Christ to take his word across the street and around the world. What a great honor. You know, a lot of things we do in the local church ministry, and I understand we do these things for God's glory, and we do these things for God, but a lot of things we do in local church ministry, our families benefit from them. You as an individual, and me as an individual, we benefit from these things. We have old school pastors gathering. It's great. The church benefits from that. Pastors from other parts of the state and other places as well benefit from that. That's great. That's good. The missions conference is our opportunity in a more direct way to reach out and let others and other places, people who will never know this side of glory, benefit. This is our chance to do something globally. And I know that's going on all the time. I understand that. I understand that. But this is a more direct connection with them, authorized, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere. Later on, I'm not going to read it, but it says that as a result of all of this, that the word of God grew mightily and prevailed in Ephesus after this situation took place, with the defeat of the seven sons of Sceva, but the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a few years ago, 2009, in fact, we were in Bible camp. Devin Dawson was there with me. And it was getting towards the end of the week. I think it was like the fourth day. We still had 2 days left of camp. And this is our second week of camp. And we do Bible camp down there. It's gotten a little bit better. But back then, I mean, we slept on the floor, you know. Hardly ever a place to sit, to eat, or anything like that. And we're out in the Andean sun all day long. And after 2 weeks of that, you get kind of worn out. You're kind of physically tired. And you almost get to the point, at least I do, where I'm just trying to, I know this sounds really bad, I'm just hoping camp will get over real quick. That I can survive the rest of the week and get through camp. And I was sitting there, and I was doing the preaching. There wasn't enough, we had a tent, no walls on the tent, just the roof. And the preacher was preaching, fellow from Puerto Rico. And as he was preaching, there was a man, I was sitting outside the tent because there wasn't any room in the tent. And there was a young man sitting next to me. There was a space between us. No one sitting in that space, just he's sitting next to me. And he had his elbows on his knees, his head down, and his hand up here. I was sitting over this way. And as this man was preaching, I could hear him mumbling something. At first, I thought he was talking on a cell phone. Cell phones were just starting to come on back then at that time in Bolivia. And I thought he's meeting, and they're not supposed to do that when we're in the service or anything like that. But in fact, not even supposed to have it at camp. Jim, you're not even supposed to have your cell phone wherever you are, Brother Gross, in the church with you. I have to check where mine is. I don't have mine. Anyway, yeah, so I thought he was talking on a cell phone. I'm looking, he's saying something. And I tried to hear what he was saying. And he was kind of talking under his breath, but I could hear him, and I could hear the words he was saying. And he was saying, I don't know how you could do it, almost like he was a ventriloquist or something. He was saying everything the preacher was saying just at that speed, just right when he was saying it. It's like, and I'm amazed. I was amazed. I said, wow, what's going on? You know, what's happening here? Well, that morning, before the service, just before breakfast, in fact, a young man who slept in the same cabin as this guy, his name is Gustavo. I'll just call him Gus. And a young man that was in the cabin with him, one of the counselors, in fact, he came to me and said, Brother Bud, something happened last night in our cabin. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it, but he said, something was going on. Something was going on. Now, I didn't put all this, this is hindsight now I'm talking to you about. But 9 years earlier, I was teaching in that same Bible camp. I was preaching. And there was a little commotion amongst the young people on this side. And some of the counselors took a young lady out. And they took her to that cabin. That was a girl's cabin back then. They changed it later. And she stayed in that cabin. So they went to her cabin and they dealt with her. And it was a situation of demon possession. I didn't even realize what was going on. I was just preaching away, you know, and obviously I found out about it later. It happened to be the same cabin where these guys were sleeping the night before. And he said, there's so-and-so, gave me the name, on the top bunk, there's a boy about 14 years of age who was just restless and tossing and turning and yelling out during the night. And they couldn't calm him down. And they were all worn out and they needed to sleep. And the lights were off and everything, but this boy just wouldn't get any peace. And wouldn't give anyone else any peace. And they didn't understand what was happening. And he said that he finally quieted down. And it was like this guy, the counselor, was awake. He was watching to see what was happening. He said it was like he could see like a silhouette of a figure, of a man, a human, come in into the room, went over by that boy's bunk. He's on top bunk. And then he left. He just saw the silhouette. And this guy was scared. Yeah, he was telling me about this. And I was getting kind of weird feeling too, you know, by that time. He said when that presence left, he said the boy calmed down. His breathing got deep as if he was in a deep sleep. And everything was okay. Well, he told me about that. And then that afternoon, this was going on. Actually, it was in the morning, in a morning session. This was going on with this fella. After the service was over, I got up next to Gus. I didn't even know his name. You know, there was like 300 kids there. And I didn't know his name. He's about 24 years old. In Bolivia, if you're single and 24 or 27, you can still go to youth camps as a camper. And so this guy, you know, he's like 24, 25 years old. And I got to talking to him, and I started to witness to him. I just cut right to the quick. I said, Gus, what's going on? And he told me what happened the night before. And he also told me, he said, Brother Bud, he said, I'm a bad person. He said, You don't want to have to deal with me. I'm just a bad person. He said, I'm part of a gang from the city of Cochabamba. Bolivia is a big city. I'm part of a gang. We've been involved in a lot of things. He said, even murder. And he said, I can't accept Christ. have a spirit that dominates me, that just controls me. I hear what you're saying. He said, that's what was going on during the service. He said, I don't remember saying anything during the service. I mean, he was mumbling, mimicking the preacher's words. And I told him, I said, Gus, I said, you know what happened last night in your room? He said, yeah, I know. I said, and this was just my guess. I said, that spirit wasn't there for that boy. That evil spirit was there for you. He told me some other things, pretty incredible, that really coincide with the silhouette that was seen in the room. And he told me some other things. I'm not talking about hocus pocus stuff. This is real life. And I told Gus, Gus, you can be saved to share the gospel with him. He said, I just can't do it. I said, Gus, I'll tell you what. I said, let's make an appointment for 3 o'clock this afternoon. They'll be doing the sports and the activities. We'll get together and we'll talk about this. Can we do that? He said, okay. Okay. So that was it's about 9:30 in the morning now. I let a couple of people know. I let my wife know. I let Devin know. A few other people. I said, hey, you know, this is going on. Really appreciate your praying. I did not want to cope with this situation, honestly. I didn't want to. Like I said, it's the end of camp, second week of camp, close to the end. We were tuckered out. I just didn't want to have to deal with this. And we've dealt with some things like this before down there, and I kind of had an idea what could happen. So, the Lord put that on our plates, right? And I shared this with several people, and they were praying. Devin was really well informed since he was right there at camp with me. And these people were praying. And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon came. We're sitting over in the same area again. There was a young lady that had some problems. She wanted to talk to me. So we were sitting there, lots of people around. But we were, you know, the conversation was private. And I was talking to her when Gus came and sat down on the bench over there. It's 3 o'clock. He's right on time. And I'm thinking, oh, what's going to happen now, you know? I look over at Gus, and he was sitting there, and he just kind of looked at me, and our eyes met, and he gave me a thumbs up. Now, thumbs up wasn't a big deal back then. It's kind of like the sign now, right? But I wasn't sure if he was saying, it's all okay, I'm going to get saved, or if that was the demon manifesting himself and going to say, I'm going to whoop up on you in the next few minutes. I didn't know what was going on. But he gave me the thumbs up, and finished with the young lady. I went over and talked to Gus, and Gus got saved. You know? There was no confrontation. It was simple. It was perhaps the easiest situation, or one of the easiest situations I ever had leading someone to the Lord. But you know what happened? The battle had already been fought. Amen. Right? Amen. The battle had been fought. The resurrected power of the gospel, of Jesus Christ, I should say, which is the gospel, had already taken effect. People have been praying, and the evil one had been defeated. Amen. The resurrected power of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Friend, you know what? As you follow the Lord, as God allows, and you follow the Lord, and you are truly following the Lord, I can say this to the young missionaries on the way to the field. I say it to all of us. You have no rivals because you are energized, deputized, authorized by Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know why Satan fell from heaven? He was cast out of heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.